Why Nyerere? Ironically, Mwalimu Nyerere and Mwalimu Mazrui bear interesting resemblance. They are both prolific writers, they are both poets, visionaries, and accomplished debaters. They are both many things to many people. On one hand, the work emerged from Mwalimu Mazrui's earlier writings on the major debates on Nyerere, stretching over 40 years. And out of that, a small monograph was made, and it was entitled The Titan of Tanzania, The Legacy of Julius Nyerere, and was prepared to be delivered in 2002, I think. But then we thought of the return of global debates on social and national building, involving the dialogues of political community at different levels. At that particular moment, we are thinking of looking at how can we have a great impact on current and future generations in talking about the issues that not only affect Africa's social history, political theory, but also affect globalization in general. At that particular moment, we thought that perhaps it would be good not only to write about him and his legacy, but also to write about what had transpired during his lifetime, his tenure.
The title of your book refers to Nyerere as Africa's Titan. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
As I said, Nyerere was many things to many people. And he emerged as a political giant over years, really. Not only that he was instrumental in forging the links in anti-colonial struggles and other distinctive pedigree of post-colonial thinking, including decolonization and multiple histories of modernity of the voiceless, but also he seized the opportunity to transform the whole nation to what he believed to be a true revolution. He provided unwavering support in African liberation struggle to end apartheid in South Africa. He was a champion of Pan-Africanism. His effort was felt not only in Tanzania, but their African cousin elsewhere, and indeed the whole world. It is no secret that Tanzania was the home to sons and daughters of Africa, the freedom fighters.
How important is the observance of Nyerere Day here at the United Nations on October 14?
I think this is an honor, really, to sort of think of the legacy and also to think of what these giants, these people like him, like Mandela, like others, what they've achieved, and for the current generation to be in the dialogue.
Tell me about the main arguments of the essays in the book. What does this book aim to achieve?
We started with looking at unique and positive attributes of Nyerere as a charismatic leader, as a founding father of a nation. The union of Tanganyika and Zanzibar is one of the few enduring union in Africa. His intellectualism behind his brand of socialism, of course, the familyhood, the ujamaa, and also specifically the economic blueprint of Tanzania. We look at what was less successful. We look at problematic or simply what was wrong and how he went about relieving those and fixing those. In keeping with the times also, we try to sort of compare him with, for example, Obama. And with comparing him and Obama, we find that they also had some similarities. First, they provide multiple realities, imaginaries of global Africa. They are pragmatics, both of them.
You are aware, of course, that nowadays one doesn't talk much about socialism, particularly after the collapse of the Soviet Union or the socialist countries. Are Mwalimu Nyerere's ideas of socialism, ujamaa, still relevant in Africa today?
I think it is in some ways because his brand of socialism was African familyhood. So that was totally different from the socialism that we're singing right now.
We are talking about a system that is rooted in African culture and African
culture, exactly. To look at Africa not only as a place, but also as a sacred place. A place not only that we look at a divine intervention, but also we look at in terms of how ancestors have tried to heal so many wounds from colonialism to starvation to what have you. And that to me is very special and very unique.
Did the book achieve what was intended to achieve?
Yes, we believe that the collection is one of the most bold and insightful in terms of looking at not only the intense curiosity of Julius Nyerere and his intellectual philosophy, but also looking at the pragmatic nature of him. Not only what he has achieved, but also what he has failed and why he failed and how did he go about fixing it. One of the examples that he did to show that he's intellectual giant, when he was asked by his critics 10 years after Arusha Declaration, for example, what Tanzania has achieved, he said that, well, listen, and I'm paraphrasing this here. He said that, listen, the fact that there are few people who are going to church, it doesn't make the church irrelevant. So to me, that's profound, showing that he actually agreed that I've made a mistake. And I'm ready to correct and move on.
You are the realist.
Yeah. And also the fact that he never amassed fortune like others, that itself shows that he was serious about humanity, the voice of the voiceless and downtrodden.